Okay, I've got 901. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you today, humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon us, the fair and cooler weathers, the rains that have been much needed. Lord, we would ask that you watch over and protect those that are serving us and protecting us here on earth, our first responders, our military. Lord, as always, we ask that you place your hand of wisdom on this court, guide and direct us so that we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. Noting the three items there, the financial summary report for the county clerk's office, the financial summary report for the tax assessor collector, as well as the approval of the minutes of the county commissioners court meeting for November 26, 2024.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda A, B, and C.
Second. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, the second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six is the road and bridge report. Mr. Layton.
Yeah, Judge, for the month of November, we closed out 34 service requests, or we have 57 open. Blading added base nine roads, blading three roads, and the Fairmont Cattle Guard. The chip seal of the new County Road 140, a little bit of 141, and finished up 158. Clean ditches in nine locations. Picked up eight trees from the roadway, installed a head wall, patched six roads, installed a driveway on the county road 174 over David. Mower's been running. We've covered 96 locations. Installed 12 county road name signs, one fair sign, two speed limit signs, a six stop sign. Ripped up bale and chip seal on county road 140. Repaired one. Corrugated metal, six new and replaced two. Stabilized ditch, erosion in one location, and trim brush at four locations. Our brush cutter has been broke down. We got one big saw and broke down. The one that broke down, they take a cab off, get a wired harness for it. And they couldn't order a wired harness, so patched it best they could. We kept that wired harness with me here till May.
I'll make a motion to accept the road and bridge report.
Second. Got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number six or any questions for Mr. Layton from the court? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number seven is to consider accepting a donation for chip seal on North Table Rock Road from Jeff DeWald in the amount of $2,500, Steve Gray in the amount of $2,500, Justin Henney in the amount of $2,500, James Parisher in the amount of $2,500. And there is a correction to the agenda. The amount for Larry Futrell should be $1,000.
Thank
pay for the oil for that. Yeah, the residents out there, we had hauled that road. Did a pretty good bit of work to that gravel road. Well, I don't know, maybe a year ago, 8 months ago, and had a lot of expense on the haul of the base. It was getting muddy, and they were considering wanting to chip seal it. We offered it if they don't pay for the oil, we would put oil on it. So.
I make a motion to accept the donation.
Got a motion to accept the donations from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. And Ms. Newton, you did note the one change there. Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on item number seven? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number eight, consider awarding bid for crushed rock. We received three bids. I believe that's what we got, and those went out in your packet. Those would be from Green Dream International, Triple C Rock, and BC Materials. Mr. Latham, any input you may have, anything that works to consider?
The main goal in this is just to get the local quarries so we can pull in there and be within our procurement obligations. There's one local one we were hoping to get as well, so we could award all of them, but maybe they're not in there. Contact them, send them a deal. They're supposed to, but you don't have a handle that one. That's gonna hurt. I think it's also running about, but Triple C Rock and BC Material are all within the county. We will utilize them. Dream International, I believe their quarry is in Gerald.
Yeah.
I don't ever see us driving to Gerald by road banks. Just trucking is prohibitive. Drop 40 miles, however far it is. This will just kind of help us fill in the gap for our quarries. You know, they have trucking off. I recommend, awarding Triple C Rock and BC Materials. Dream. I don't see us going there. We could award all three, or we will never purchase anything. So we're the party. This was, believe they are. They're not the cheapest, but they're right in the middle. But I mean, the trucking is going to offset any cost savings there. So. The Triple C Rock is located where Moody Leon over there, County Line.
I make a motion to award the bid for Fresh Rock, Triple C Rock, and BC Material.
Second.
Got a motion to award Crushed Rock bid to Triple C Rock and BC Materials from Commissioner Matthews, and a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number eight? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number nine, discussion and action on TxDOT request concerning County Road 314 Bridge. Mr. Mannix had some email information that we forwarded out to you. It looks as if that TxDOT is wanting to replace that bridge under the bridge replacement program. We're currently under an economically disadvantaged county status, which will bring our match requirements down to approximately $7,000. Now,
there's a typo. 10% of the estimated cost was $677,000. I would think the cost match would be $67,000. If I'm doing my math right.
Well, but we're economically disadvantaged. So it normally would be 10%, and we're economically disadvantaged. So I think it comes down to 2.5-3%. We're somewhere in that, and I believe that number is the number it would be based off of.
The math doesn't work the way the email is written. It says would require an EMP with current EDC rate of 90%. I I could never figure out what the 7,000 myself. See what the, I mean, it says our EDC rate is.
Which is, we do not have to pay that out, but as a, we do that as an in-kind.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got that.
Do we need to highlight the projects at this meeting, or is that at a later date?
I think that they need to get a refined estimate for us before we start identifying the project, so we know what we're looking at. Because I think that's the next step is this is so that we can move forward with an advanced funding agreement. So I believe the action there is to yes, say that we want to execute this project. It being dependent upon final numbers for the advanced funding agreement.
Shannon, this is, they noted two projects in there. What was that? Three, 14, and an email that had full grant.
Well, it was talking about that we could come up with EMP, but we had a bigger project, we can use it to offset the expense of both of these.
Okay.
That's what we did offset our cost. Okay. Yeah. Kind of and so I think what they're saying is we already got Bull Branch going to come up with a project
large enough. You could
large enough project, so use it for both of them. That's what me and Mr. Mannix decided to make.
We've already got the Bull Branch going, I guess, but the one they're talking about is County Road 314 Neff Park. You if that's the bridge over there?
No, that's a it's an old wooden bridge that's on the county road that leads into let me correct myself. The state road that leads into Mother Neff Park that the county has been maintaining for a number of years.
Yeah, I was reading the subject line. And figure out what that.
When they once we read out, when you reach out to the state, then they tell me that it is a county road.
They're calling it County Road 314. They're calling it County Road 314.
Yeah, I think they're calling that a branch of Leon. I don't know if it's a big slough or I don't know what they're calling it, but it's a big gully that comes off the hill there and runs into Leon pretty quick there. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't look it up to see exactly which one it was, but they replaced that one already.
Yes,
down. Yeah. Is this one, which side of that bridge is this one?
It's up further up County Road 314.
The one right there by Billy Jack Carriers, that wooden one.
Okay.
The waste patch.
They replaced, was that other one stationed? No,
might be stationed. Yeah, it's way down there by the property.
That going into the port.
Okay.
It's one of the very few wooden bridges we have left. The head walls are deteriorating in the report. Basically, we'd have to disassemble it, fix the head wall, reassemble it. It would be a better option just to go ahead and replace it with a modern structure, concrete. But, you know, kind of a history on that road. Used to, there's some farm and ranch activity down in some fields down there. Used to, they could go out the state in, the state closed that in, so now all the grain trucks, heavy traffic still going across this Lakeland Bridge because they don't have any access to their fields. We was actually underneath it inspecting it when a dump truck went across it and moved about 2 foot, looked like it. So maybe 18. It would be beneficial to the county to have it.
No, for the future, I'd get out from underneath that when I go.
Yeah, like I do, I think like 12,800 pounds to go up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Judge, I guess, I mean, there's still a lot of, but it will hurt. And, you know, you guys help me correct me, but I think make a motion to have TxDOT refine the estimate and get the final number for the AFA. I need to reference that.
It's an advanced funding agreement. Yes. So, yes, your motion is good. It's a, yeah, I think that's
just a, okay.
Yes. Ms. Nathan, you're good with that? Thank you, ma'am. Okay, so we've got a motion from Commissioner Weddle to refine the estimate for the final number for the AFA. A second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 10 is updating actions on grants to include, but not limited to, SS4A. I believe we're still in the final phases of closing that out. Is that correct, Mr. Bell? Or is there anything else we need to address with it?
Waiting to hear from Mr. Nelson at CIDCO if there's any way we can leverage any other actions to draw down any more funds. We've done awful. I've done all I can do at this point.
Okay. Any questions, comments, concerns under SS4A? Hearing none. B is the Hazard Mitigation Plan grant. I believe we are in the process of submitting for reimbursement. Is that correct on that, Mr. Bell?
We have everything, Judge. We can hear back from you.
Okay. Any questions, comments, concerns under the HMP? Hearing none, Resilient Communities Program Grant, RCP. I believe we were working on getting a date set up with MRB to have a little workshop and discuss the steps forwards. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yep.
So I'll give you all, had some dates. We talked about the last commissioner's court meeting. Me and Ms. Roebuck went over those and figured out which ones we had availability for room, and the dates that we had this run available, Ms. Thompson couldn't make any of those work. They cut our, of course, one of those options was one day last week, about 2 days after the notice of that one, so of course, didn't work. The other thing, it wasn't, but maybe one of those days, the rest of this week, this room was available. Anyway, long story short, me and Mr. Mannix are meeting with Ms. Thompson on the 12th at 10 a.m. at my office. This room was booked that day. Ms. Thompson never really replied to the email about a workshop, but she did want a meeting to discuss things that she needed. So I'm not sure that she's quite ready for a workshop just yet, but I will assure you of one thing. After 10 a.m. on the 12th, when me and Mr. Mannix visit with her, we're going to have us a list, and we're going to know what everybody needs to do, and what is the next about three steps out, and we're going to have a list. So when we do get a workshop scheduled with Mr. Court, we will have very identifiable tasks that we need to accomplish at that meeting. Because to be honest with you, at this point, I don't know that if we had a workshop scheduled for the 12th at 10 a.m. it would be productive at all. So we're Mr. Mayor's going to visit with her. We're going to get her everything that she does not have yet. I don't know exactly what that is, because between me and Mr. Mannix, I think we have forwarded her just about everything we have. But we're going to find out. And I will report back, and we will get us... while she is there, me and Mr. Mannix are there. We're going to get on the phone with Ms. Roebuck, find out when this room is available, and we're going to get a couple of options that we can bring back to the court so that on December 23rd, y'all can schedule a workshop for after the first of the year, and we get it scheduled far enough out that we don't have any conflicts and any issues, and we can make it happen.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions, comments concerning RCP. All right. CDBG MIT. Round number 5, 6, 7, whichever it is. I believe that we're waiting on confirmation or approval.
We said they've received all of our RFIs. Moving on to the next step, whatever that means.
Magic words work.
I don't know. We'll see. I thought they had worked one time before. So I I think you got that email, didn't you, Judge? I think you replied to Jill that that was that being good news. It was.
I'd have to go back and look. I don't know. So anything else on the CDBG MIT? All right. Moving on to the DR4781. I believe we're still in our project development.
Guys, we had a meeting last week. Just going on with projects. We do not have a meeting scheduled until January 7th. With holidays, availability, trying to get everybody to the meetings. Our next one would be June 7th at 8:10 a.m. Number one, so I'm moving through.
Have we submitted our documentation for Cat A and Cat B funds?
We sent it to Langford. I do not think they have sent it to FEMA. Langford was not attended at our last meeting. They just started sending directly to put FEMA on their information.
Okay.
There are some items on there that Road and Bridge does not have no vision on. We don't know what they are. There's a couple of line items on there. Maybe I can't remember which one category is, like damaged equipment or something like that.
Yeah.
Did not receive no, or did not have no damaged equipment.
I'm not sure they got the support information for like the fire EMS and the fire response. Sheriff's Department, that kind of thing. I don't know if they've got supporting documentation for those claims.
Not really a point of contact with the county. Yeah, will they ask us because we don't even know what that is.
Okay, I'll follow up with Judy on that one because I thought I'd sent her some information because I know there's been some stuff sent to me. So I'll go ahead and close the loop because I would like to go ahead and get that, our project, the POs or whatever those things are not dependent upon our submission for reimbursement under Cat A and Cat B. So we should be able to get those documents submitted and get reimbursement for those funds independent of where we are with the submission of the projects under, I think that's Cat C. I don't know. And then
exactly right. So if they told us that they would not be tied together, that would be the first check we got would be for those things.
Okay. All right.
But we can't tell what's missing and what's going on there. That's going to have to be a Ms. Langford question, probably.
Right. I can get hold of her.
And I spoke to Ms. Langford about the 404 contract, about the procurement issue. She's not concerned about the procurement issue. She said GLO has special rules about when you have a sole responder to an RFP. The feds do not have that rule. I couldn't find it in 2 CFR 200, but of course, I didn't trust that I didn't miss it somewhere because that statute is voluminous. But Ms. Langford said that we would be good, but we would have a procurement review. So we need to make sure that we, you know, documented our, got all the emails, because I did the direct procurement on the email again to all of our DBEs and MBEs and direct solicitation stuff. So I got all that, went over all that with her. Ms. Roebuck has got the stuff for the posting the RFP, and we need to make sure we catch those newspaper returns when those bills come in, and we get those newspaper returns showing we're posting the newspaper. Make sure we scan those in and save them, because she said we would have a procurement review, but she said it would not lift it. It wouldn't be a holdup of any kind. It would just have one response. She's going to be sending us a draft contract, so hopefully we'll have that for the 23rd. I talked to her one day this last week.
Yeah. Anything else we need to cover under DR 4781? Any other discussions on any other grants court needs to have? Okay.
I'm gonna look here just a second, Judge, and make sure that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Moving on to item number 11, update on construction projects.
Hey, only a few more of these to go. We had our meeting on the 5th of December. Paneling has arrived. It's going up. Looks fantastic. It's nice to kind of start to see some color and millwork in there. The acoustic paneling on the back wall being installed that day. Flooring, carpet's already all in, but the LVT in the front foyer area is being installed. The IT room racks installed. Exterior detail work is being done. I know landscape was being, you know, put out. All the plants were being put in their places. The sprinkler air test has been completed. Tile is about 99% done. Electrical is 90 to 95%. The pews, I guess that's what we'll call them. I guess really more the benches that will be going in both courtrooms were supposed to be delivered on the 5th. I don't know where they are. Okay. Yep. So the benches were delivered. Again, just reminding everybody, that was kind of cool. They were built by a company out of Waco. Great find. Picnic, the trash cans, etc., are on site, and those will start to be installed. And temporary power was notified to disconnect, so we're now on full, you know, full blown power through our distribution panel. We worked through some additional, a little bit of additional privacy fencing. And let's see, switching out stainless steel hand dryers. They installed white ones. Now the good stuff, the FA/FS PCO, you got to love these acronyms. FA fire alarm, FS fire sprinkler, PCO is temporary certificate of occupancy. So those have to be, you know, tested and signed off on, and that was supposed to be on 12/18. The MEP final inspections is the week of 12/30, and the building final inspection is targeted 1/3. the commission of Texas Commission on Jail Standards is being scheduled. And so we're still on schedule for our open house on January 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. And then I'm working with the auditor to get our insurance set up on December 15th. Mr. Wood, just we need to have that, I guess, switched over for the temporary occupancy. And I sent you that email. It's really best to work with Butler Cohen on that and that timing. Let's see, we passed the interlocal agreement. I've sent that over to the city and just waiting for a response from them, and we should get our reimbursement check from the city. We're almost there. Down to the little, I will say everybody's, what would we say? The tension is a little bit high right now, because when you get down to all this nitty gritty stuff, everybody is under some pressure.
Okay, we had issues that we've talked about concerning phase two of the IT build out. Where are we with that?
That has been advertised and the bids are being collected. So it went out for bid. Hit the papers, they sent it all out. So I think those bids are coming back to Butler Cohen and Mr. Bell, I think you were even. Because of the holiday, I think it was late December, Butler Cohen should have all that.
The 18th.
Yeah,
I was saying the 17th, right?
Yeah. So they should have all that for us probably by the next meeting. I guess the answer is they're going through their procurement process, and then they will present the bid tab when it's completed.
So what do we anticipate that the completion date is versus the move-in date, and is phase two going to be complete by the move-in date?
Sure hope so.
Well, I mean, we can't move into that building
if phase two. Absolutely, we will not get occupancy without it. Butler Cohen will not turn the keys over to us until it is complete.
So,
but they're still saying they're on your schedule. The phase two is not, it's not a big, I mean, everything, all the cabling's already run. All they got to do is just put all the switches and the access points are already installed. It's just a matter of procuring the equipment and installing all the UPSs, switches, patch panels. And then I believe completing. No, the connection's already made at the outfits. So until Butler Cohen tells me differently, they're still on schedule per their contract to complete it in January.
Okay. I think that may be optimistic given our situation that we're in. I mean, I think the building is going to be done. I don't know that at that point, just a little bit that I've heard, the items needed to build that out, I think we're going to take a little bit to procure those.
I've heard that too, Judge, but I did a little research myself, and that those materials are available. They're just not through the source that person normally gets them.
Okay.
And the other thing is there's some an Ethernet switch is an Ethernet switch is an Ethernet switch. Patch panel is a patch panel is a patch panel. It's all just like NEMA, the National Electric Manufacturers Association. Every outlet, you don't care what brand outlet you have in your house, do you? And there's 10 manufacturers. So TIA, EIA is the governing body of the datacom world. And they say that this switch must plug into this rack and must, you know, integrate with everything else. So I don't, you know, we'll let the contractors and the experts, you know, hash that out. I think the material's available.
Okay. All right. Anything else to cover on update on construction projects?
Judge, it falls over here as good as it does anywhere, I guess. I went to the JP office yesterday and visited with them about the move over as far as computers go, because I know I've told y'all I got a warranty report on all of those. I don't work computers a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going through that, training it, and trying to formulate a plan to move forward here over the next few years. As a bunch, we've got about 70 units that the warranty has expired on. Some of those are running on Windows 10, which must be replaced by 27, or we're not going to be in compliance with our antivirus software to be on any kind of, you know, pass any kind of government IT test, which we're required to pass now. And so working through that, I think I met with 440 a while back and went through theirs. And right now, I still think that the best option is to everyone except for the constables to get them new computers to put in the new building to get set up and ready so that when they move over, they can just move over. There may be one unit in the 440th that's new enough to reassign to someone else to use, but that's it. I don't know that there is anything in the JP office besides the two constables' computers. One of them is about 6 months old. Mm-hmm. One of them is about a year old, maybe a little older than that. I don't know. They're both fairly new computers. I've got the information on them. They're not on RDS. They can't connect to EDOC. I don't. They never called Coryell County IT, bless their hearts. So they're still on island. So it ain't gonna matter whether their computer gets moved day one or day 14, probably. So I say we just move theirs over whenever and get them connected up, get them on RDS, get them where they can connect to EDOC and all that good stuff. But the rest of them, I've requested a quote. I'm still working through that. I talked to FA yesterday, so I'm requesting a quote from, since they are the ones that manage our RDS and are the ones that are gonna need to connect us up and do all that. I get that. I will visit with y'all about it, but I have not gotten it yet. But I'm still working through. That's my plan right now. If somebody tells me something different, I don't know what our other better option is, because moving all those old units over and then having to replace them between now and 2027, it seems like we're going to be paying twice to move them and set them up and replace them, all that, connect them. I just don't see much use in that. There's some 7-8 year old computers at 440 of them. I didn't bring the warranty report with me, but there's some over at the JP's office that are probably older than that. So that's my plan right now, but I have not got a quote on that yet.
No, and as we talked, I mean, the quote, the cost, and then, you know, do we have the funds available? That's really what it's going to boil down to. And we may have to pick and choose which ones are priorities during the move versus which ones we just can't do right now. But thank you for getting the quote put together for us. I mean, to consider that. But that will be part of the move piece that we're going to have to figure out. So, anything else to cover under update on the construction projects? Okay. Moving on to item number 12, which is to consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any actions that the court wishes to take for the construction projects?
I have none at this time.
Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 13, which is consider appointing Dr. Julie Gardner and Mr. W.B. Maples as the Coryell County representatives to the Coryell Healthcare Board of Directors. Under their bylaws, we are authorized two representatives from the county. Those are two-year appointments. Mr. Byram from the hospital reached out to me. He said that they've talked with both Dr. Gardner and Mr. Maples, and they're willing to serve in those capacity. Currently, well, the term has expired, but Ms. Mary Jane Ziegler, local attorney, had been one of our representatives for many years, and she is asked to step down from that position. We got a motion to approve the appointment. Appointments of Dr. Gardner and Mr. Maples from Commissioner Matthews.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 14 is to consider the memorandum of understanding with Milam County Sexual Assault Response Team, the SART. I believe that memorandum went out in your packet.
Your Honor, good morning. Good morning, Commissioners. Your Honor, I'm Nathan Jager. I'm pleased to serve the county. I am a CID lieutenant. I work for Captain Ron Dayton over in the Sheriff's Office. My responsibilities include supervision of detectives, investigations, organized crime. Probably my most important part of my job is violent crime. That is my specialty. I brought with me, this is Mary Salmon. She is the chief of forensic nursing, Baylor Scott and White. In 2021, Texas legislator passed a statute basically that we had to have what's called a SART. And a SART is a sexual assault response team. Mary's graciously done all the work for us. She's already pioneered this out in Milam County. She has a packet for you guys, and I'm going to defer to her. Thank you.
Yes, please.
So what I have on this front page is, because I'm a nurse, it's an SBAR. So it's the situation, the background, assessment, and recommendation. But yes, I am the nurse manager at Baylor Scott and White for the adult and pediatric forensics teams. The situation currently is that Coryell County does not have an appointed board or organized sexual assault response team. So this statute was passed and enacted in September 1st of 2021. And the first biennial report was due to the local county commissioners and TASA, which is the Texas Association Against Sexual Assault. And that was due December 1st of 2023. So I didn't come back into this role on this team until 2022. So I was a little behind. I was able to organize Milam County's SART team, and we're getting Bell County's kind of reorganized. Smaller counties under 250,000 can partner and do a regional SART, but sometimes the smaller counties then kind of get left behind in the larger counties that they're partnered with. So a smaller approach on a county level will ensure that your county is getting the response and coordinated effort. This is zero cost to the county. All of the people that we're proposing and recommending appointed to the board, all those organizations have agreed to allow those personnel to participate and fund their role in this team. We'll use our own resources to coordinate meetings, and my cool little Office Depot run last night for your packets. But we want to ensure a coordinated response. And this also ensures that you as the commissioners will get a biannual report about the current sexual assault in your county, what's getting prosecuted, what's getting closed, what the reports are, what kind of evidence is being found, what kind of ethnicities or social determinants of health that we're discovering. And it helps hold us all accountable. When we take this community approach and for different disciplines, we identify needs for education. So if a smaller agency isn't having as many sexual assault reports, is it that it's not happening, or they need education or support in those investigations or in identifying the resources for those victims? So it is our proposal that the county commissioner will appoint these six people to the board as recommended in the statute. And we will get organized and have a report for you by December 1st of next year. So I've included that SBAR on the first. The second part is the guide from TASA on how to organize it. The third part is what that biennial report looks like with some examples. And the last part is the Milam County protocols, bylaws, and everything that has been enacted as an example. And since we've already done it in Milam, it will just be some editing and adapting to Coriel, so we won't be starting from new and can get off the ground a lot faster.
I'm sure it's probably covered or addressed somewhere in government code chapter 420. But is there a reason we would not include our crime victim liaison person on this?
So the number one, like the sexual assault program, that is the advocates from Aware Central Texas who are the responders and non-third party advocates. We can appoint additional members. Those six positions are just what's mandated by law. If there's a specific person that you would like on the board in that seventh position, be happy to include them. Because you know your county better than anyone else.
Your Honor, if I may.
Please.
One of the things about for victim services, you want to keep the victim services component solely with the victim. You do not want them dragged into court. So the Aware Central Texas, as Mary told you, they are our sexual assault victim advocate provider currently. The Sheriff's Department has an MOU with them. So that person, the director, I believe her name is Jessica, she is the head of all victim services. But as far as getting down into the weeds, you don't want those individual service providers involved because they might get called into those court cases.
Whereas the advocates at Aware cannot be called subpoenaed for trial. So everything that they talk and disclose and discuss with that victim is completely confidential. They don't have to share with us. They don't have to share with law enforcement. When you have victims liaisons at the district attorney, county attorney level, and law enforcement, they do share that information with those parties. So that's why it's that third party unbiased person.
Okay. No, I just want to, because I know we've got...
I'll probably don't have a discussion with Mr. Boyd, the district attorney, about that, because I'm not sure everything you just said is legally active. But I'm just a little county attorney, so...
Hey, I was sending him a message myself, just to... have y'all been in contact with...
Yes.
...the DA?
He's reporting Scott Stevens, sir, as his representative.
Yes, he's visited with him and he's off.
Yeah, I mean, what I was getting at is the only question I have is I don't want to leave off Ms. Rhodes if it would be appropriate to have her, you know, included in this. And so that's kind of where my question was going is don't want to slight someone by omission.
So this is the board. So the MDTs will consist on the people that are, those are the meetings. And then one of the things we're doing in Bell County is we're going to have a victim services committee specifically for the advocates and the victims liaison at the police department to coordinate that. That's outside of the MDT where the case investigation and the DA's office and the other things are discussed. So they have that coordinated response of the victim's liaisons because the advocate will respond to the hospital often and they'll start coordinating that, but then they may do a warm handoff to the victim's liaison at the police department or the DA's office to ensure that collaboration.
So all that being said, what my understanding is the court's action would be to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Milam County, and that we are grouped within their SART as a regional. Is that the action that we're considering? Is that?
Yeah, I would propose our county has its own. I believe Milam County was furnished to the courts, and you can see an example.
Okay.
I think that's accurate, Judge. I talked to Mr. Boyd about this, and he is in agreement moving forward.
what I was talking about was your statements regarding who could be called.
Called what?
Yes. Different matter. The packet information is simply a copy of the Milam County program. It's
okay.
Not meant for y'all to adopt or even an MOU with Milam County to operate on. Y'all need to take action to appoint board members to a Fort Hill County sexual assault response team. And this nice lady has been gracious enough to agree to help us get that set up for our county, using these documents as a template and working with this rest of this bunch to get that done.
I know we had discussion on this once before, and I'm guessing it was in 23.
You'd be accurate. Because the involvement of the commissioner's work is supposed to do it. It's not something that I can do, or Ms. Boyd can do, or they can do. The commissioner's court has to do it. And then once y'all do it, once y'all establish it and assign these people, then they can move forward with setting up the program and setting up the plan and getting everybody in place that needs to be.
Yeah.
I don't believe we've accurately reflected the action as opposed to what is on the agenda. That's my concern right now. I mean, I believe, you know, I'm not gonna put words in anybody's mouth. I don't believe there's any opposition to setting this up, but I don't believe that the agenda item accurately reflects the action that we would need to take.
I was fairly confused when I saw the action item, Judge. I just assumed that somebody decided we was going to do something different, and this is what we're going to do now. I never followed up on it, but now I know that I was right. I was confused.
And I can see how you would be confused.
I was too.
All right, just as a discussion, is there anyone on the court opposed to establishing our own county sexual assault response team?
I am not opposed.
What I would ask then, I think, would probably be the most prudent thing is we can get using Milam County's SART bylaws, converted over, basically put into a Coryell County format. And at our next meeting on December 23rd, have these same individuals identified and listed as our initial board. And that wouldn't be getting things out of sync or out of compliance with meeting requirements.
Is that a motion?
No, it would be a motion to table or of no action at this point. Okay. We've got a motion to table item number 14 until December 23rd from Commissioner Basham. And a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion?
What?
Actually, I think you've done. Unless does anybody have any questions? I mean, because I think it's very clear. I probably did not fully understand what was being asked to take action on. That's where the breakdown came. So you. I think you.
Yeah.
You've covered it all, and we can get this put to establish a Coryell County SART and appoint these people that have been identified in your recommendation at our next meeting.
Do you need the bylaws or things on digits?
If we did not get those digitally, that I would appreciate that, and I think.
And my email's in there, please reach out.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, y'all. Appreciate it.
Okay. So anyway, we had a motion and a second on that. Any other discussion? Hearing none, and this is, in fact, a table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 15, consider salary schedule for 2025.
Yes, I asked for this to be on here during the budgeting process. I guess I reached out to Ms. Newton to see if there was a salary schedule that was agreed to. I was under the impression, I missed the court during that time, and I was under the impression that a salary schedule had been reached and agreed to. But apparently there's not one, according to the auditor's office and the treasurer's office, and she has nothing in her records. And in order to, for the treasurer and the auditor's office to handle that kind of stuff, we need a salary schedule. When people reach their milestones and different positions or move positions. So that's why I asked for it to be on there. And I shared with everybody the last two that I had, and that was 7:30 and 8 August the 9th.
Packet, or did you just
pass
them out?
Oh, I passed them out. You need a copy? I'll get one. I think I made it. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I made it. That was the only one that we were talking about.
So there's one for Road and Bridge as far as had the brew in place.
Right.
And it was good.
Right.
That doesn't have that
brew. That was pretty last year.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
They were approved several years ago. They were not approved the past few years. We were working off of them last year based on the approval the year before, the Road and Bridge. Nothing changed.
Yeah, that's my meaning behind it. Nothing changed on any of them except for that.
Correct.
Or that was the discussion.
Correct.
Nothing was changing.
And that's where we have been paying since October, the base that nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't happen to have another copy of that, do you?
I can make you one. I left it with Ms. Roebuck.
In an effort to save some time, since I think most of us have gotten these pretty recently, would there be any issue with tabling this until the meeting of the 23rd? If you got any feedback, we can verify that what we're looking at matches up with the budget, and then come back and take action on that on the 23rd. Would anybody be opposed to that? Not.
Still processing. And I've been digging through my paperwork since it was put on the agenda item, and I've not been able to reconcile all these numbers and which ones we actually agreed on in the budget. I thought we had the clerks at 31, but. I thought we had the executive assistants at 40.
Yeah, the 730 was the one, the last one that we discussed that I was present in. I think the 89 was the one that that was discussed later, I thought.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I know it worked.
Yeah, right now, I think, yeah, we need to try. I think 730 was the more accurate one.
I can put it in, try to figure it out. I mean, and then we present it next time. I just haven't had a lot of time to do that earlier.
Okay.
So I'm just going to have to go off basically what's in the budget. And piece together.
Yeah.
That.
I'd second your motion to table until the 23rd. Think we've enough time?
I'll try, yes. Just put me in. I have to come to deal.
And I've got some notes I'll bring to you that I've got.
And I have some too. I just never know. Yeah. I never knew what was finally decided upon.
Never
know.
All right, we've got a motion to table until the 23rd and a second. Any further discussion on item number 15?
Who seconded?
Commissioner Matthews.
Oh, I made the motion.
I did.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. Any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16 is discussion and possible action on financing for the purchase of the property located at 809 South Main Street, Coppers Cove, Texas, identified as CAD ID number 121069, and consider reimbursement resolution for purchase of building at said address.
I know everybody at one point in time got this electronically. But for your convenience, I made extra copies.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just I put this on there. We talked about it at the last session. There's been some conversations about how to pay for it. Mr. Belt, I guess you went to closing yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Got the keys?
Well, Mr. Brothers got the keys.
There you go. All right. We own a building now. Now we got to figure out how we're going to... I mean, the terminology, we've already paid for it. Yeah. Now we need to determine whether we are going to replenish that payment back into our, general fund. I know I've had quite some lengthy discussions with the auditor on this, and I know there were some discussions on bank financing. Has anybody uncovered anything else on alternatives in financing?
No, I have not.
So everything that I've researched, that if we're going to replenish our fund, whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, the tax note is about the one mechanism that's available to us. What I've been able to determine, I think, our county auditor has some information and I guess quite a, in the statute, a pretty much damning mention that says if we take out any loan through a bank, we have to pay it back before the next budget. Yeah.
And that makes no sense to me whatsoever. That, but I don't like a billion laws.
You open up a whole thing. I mean, there's the whole cottage industry. They make these statutes to keep us in check, that we just don't go borrow. So it was almost a month ago. I thought I saw the handwriting on the wall. The only avenue, for us to, and I think it's prudent after really looking at this, that we need, there's all different kinds of terms. I'm just going to call it pay ourselves back. And, through the tax note, that is perfectly within the statute. We have up to 60 days from the day that we expended the funds to do a, what was it called, a reimbursement resolution. So the way I understand it, the court, we would have to pass a reimbursement resolution saying that, yes, we want to pay ourselves back that amount, and then, call our financial advisors in to give us a proposal on a tax note. So the reimbursement resolution is really nothing other than, I think, to get the ball rolling to say, yeah, we want to do this. It makes logical sense. Mr. Wood? Yeah, I told you this. Do you have some? Yeah, I know you've looked at the budget.
Yeah, originally I thought we could sustain, but then one area of concern was Road and Bridges budget. We have $1 million in FEMA money. Yes. We haven't gotten it yet. I don't know if we'll get it. Surely we will, but.
What year?
But yeah, exactly. The timing of that. So that was definitely something that raised my concern.
Yeah.
I agree. I've looked at, a bunch of different thoughts or processes to try to do this. as cheaply as we could, and I think the tax note is going to have to be it.
Well, I'll throw two things out there. One, I'm not at this point convinced that we can do this. I believe it would be prudent, and I'd had a discussion with Mr. Belt, and I failed to get hold of Mr. Mendez before the meeting today, but I believe we should reach out to bond counsel because he'll have a definitive answer on whether we can do this. And one of the points that I haven't found resolution on to this point is we now own this asset. It's not a project that's, you know, that's drawn out, that's not complete. This is done. The paperwork is signed. The ink is dry, so to speak. And we have already cut that check. So I'm not telling you that we can or can't. I'm saying that I don't know whether we can legally do this. So one is to reach out to Mr. Mendez and get his opinion on whether we could do that. And then I think a resolution needs to be drafted that, in fact, you know, we're looking at and voting on, which we don't have here today. And then the second aspect of that is looking at the overall financing of it. We're looking at between fees and interest, 19.5%.
You calculate that.
$117,000 in costs versus the $600,000 that we're borrowing.
So you just calculated a very simple interest on that, because I've tried to. I don't think that our effective tax or our effective interest on that would be 19%, but.
When you look at the I said fees and interest, so there's a $35,000 fee,
mm-hmm.
Okay, $82,211 comes up to $117,211 that we're paying to effectively receive $600,000.
Agreed.
So that came out to 19.5%. I
understand that math part of it. I just don't think that's the way you actually do it. That'd be the total cost of money, not the actual what the effective tax or the effective interest rate would be.
No, I didn't say that it was the interest rate. I said effective. I mean, we're paying 19.5% as the total cost for the borrowing of the money. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to skew it one way or another. I mean, we're going to pay $717,000 based off projected numbers. Yep. We're going to pay $717,211 to get $600,000. Mm-hmm. And I do not know if the $35,000 in fees covers bond counsel, because I think we've got an agreement with Bickerstaff, Heath Delgado. Is that who it is? Did I get it right?
Yeah, they're the ones that would draw up the resolution.
So to that end, I mean, I think that's what the total cost is. So I'm saying that the however you want to talk interest rate or fees or whatever, all of those costs are 19.5% of the total amount that we're borrowing. I think that's a pretty high number.
Yeah, but you have to do it over the number of years. Is how that's done. Yeah, if you just looked at that number within a year,
yeah,
then it would be. If you look at it over the number of years that you're actually talking about making the payment, it's about 3.68% ish.
Yeah, and I think one of our goals in whatever we, you know, bank we would accept it from, that we would certainly make it callable. I just, I don't see I'll put it this way. We don't have an alternative other than to roll the dice. Say we're going to make sure, for sure, we're going to get the FEMA money. If we don't get it, then we're going to have some really, really hard, tough, uncomfortable decisions towards the end of the year. And our budget would be in a bad... Yeah. Our road and grid would be in a bad situation.
Saying we did go this route, mm-hmm. and we sold some properties, could we hopefully pay this off sooner than later and save some of that cost?
You're going to save a small portion. By it being a callable bond, it will affect the interest rate. And that depends on whether it's callable in year one, year two, year three, at what point you make it callable. I'm not going to tell you I'm well-versed enough in the bond market to tell you how that, you know, what overall effect it was. But basically, bonds are a guaranteed source of revenue stream. That's why the interest rates on bonds typically are much lower, because it is a guaranteed amount. So we would pay a portion, if not all, and I don't know, but we would pay a portion of the interest of whatever that callable schedule is, or it's reflected in a higher interest rate. But that would be, that's my very crayon and Big Chief tablet version of the explanation. We can get Vince in here to give you a more of a comparative analysis. But that's part of the appeal of a bond, is it's a guaranteed payment schedule. And when you start making them callable, yes, we can save some, but you...
Yeah, and this being as small as it is, yeah, I mean, you're not really, you know, recouping. And all I can do is gather upon the experience I've had in the corporate world, and then, of course, my own personal life. Said when we passed this budget this last year that the reserve concerned me. So every time that we get an influx of money in or money out, that affects our reserve. So my problem with taking the money immediately from the sale of the proposed sales or the future sales of, you know, property and applying it against it is that then that is not replenishing our reserves. And we have very other abilities to replenish our reserves, except by what?
Raising taxes.
Thank you. Bing, 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 bing. You and I are going to still have that jeopardy. It's the only way. Raising taxes. So if you spend all your cash, everybody goes through this in their own personal life. You might have $10,000 in the bank, but you decide, hey, I need to keep that $10,000 in my pocket because of an emergency that comes down the road, and I'm going to go ahead and bite the nut and finance this mortgage.
How much is it going to affect your reserves? I'm not saying you should not even say that. That was pretty easy. So you're not affecting it. It's 2%. Affecting it, but not affecting it.
It's if $1 million, yes.
Yeah. Well, and that's in the general fund. $1 million doesn't hit in road and bridge.
Yeah.
And you're really affecting that reserve. Where are you going to get the rest of it?
Yeah.
See, that one is sitting up there twiddling their fingers. So, Judge, I found the reimbursement resolution that we did in 2020 for the
for law enforcement. And that, of course, those lawyers know what the bill drafted. And it says, whereas the issuer will make or has made not more than 60 days prior to the date hereof payments with respect to the project. So, I mean, I think the answer is going to be from them that as long as you do it within 60 days of the date that you expend the funds, that you can get reimbursement for that and funds to do the remodel. I mean, I think that's going to be their answer. Now, so I think y'all ought to probably talk more about which option y'all prefer rather than whether or not that option is going to be available. Mm-hmm. But I think that option is probably going to be available. It's just a matter of whether that's what y'all want to do.
Yeah, that was my conversation with Vince, but understanding Vince is not our bond counsel. He's a selling a product. That's what he told me was, yeah, this is one of the mechanisms that you have in an instance like this to pay yourself back and replenish the funds that you expended. And okay. That's why he said that you've got to get that resolution. That would have to be passed first.
Judge, there's got to be another section somewhere besides the Certificate of Obligation Act that talks about that 60 days, because I can't find that 60 days anywhere in that act either.
I'd feel more comfortable with reaching out to Mr. Mendez. We can certainly have a resolution drafted if he feels that this is an action, and then we could consider this because I think there is a cost of doing business. I mean, I get that, but because this is a relatively small amount, the aggregate cost of it to borrow this money is a pretty steep percentage. I'm not talking about the APR, if you will. I'm talking about just the aggregate, the total cost to borrow that money.
Yes, I agree. But something everybody does when they go sit down at the closing table. And you go, oh, that's an extra charge. Oh, that's an extra fee. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because if most people looked at that when they financed their house, they would walk away and go live in a tent. I would never be able to afford this.
Yeah.
That's why they stretch them.
Everybody looks at what is the monthly payment and can we afford it? At the end of the day is what we're talking about. And, in this case, we're talking about what our debt service of $143,183 a year. And that is a 0.003 cent. Again, I repeat, 0.003 cent to our INS tax rate. So, 0.3 tenths of a penny, I guess. So I think I've made it very clear. I like holding on to my cash. I've always been a very fiscally conservative, fiscally responsible person when it comes to financing and cash. And I'm going to continue to say that I think the tax note is the way to pay ourselves back on this and ensure that we maintain a pretty solid budget in 2025.
The thing about it is it's a short-term deal.
Yeah, 5 years.
You got 5 years, and then probably spend a year on rental on those two places that we're in currently. A year. So that goes in a reserve every year after the 5 years.
Yeah, so our effective yearly payment is about $100,000.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I mean, it's, that was in a, to a point where we weren't going to have a building at all over there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we've got to do something. I'm not against that. I don't want to increase the tax rate period. There's a way to around it. I mean,
that's the problem. There's not a way around it.
Claim there is a way.
Unless you just want to gamble.
Yeah. We've already gambled.
I don't like gambling other people's money.
Well, we've already gambled.
I don't like gambling my money.
You guys like me to reach out to, of course, I've been having this conversation with Mr. Valle and him set up for a presentation and then get with Mr. Mendez and see if we can get the answer of is this.
When did you sign the list of that?
Yeah.
You've got 60 days.
Yeah.
That is December.
I think it needs to be done.
We got 59 days. Kill a week for Christmas. That puts you down about 45 days.
Yeah, and as we discussed in the last court meeting too, was, you know, with the turning of the with the election and what's going on, we have no idea what
tomorrow will bring.
Yep. But I expect, I mean, or at least I'm banking that interest rates are going to continue to, yeah. I mean, the Fed's pretty comfortable with what, you know, they're doing. And I've heard another proposal, another drop in interest rates, which would only be at our benefit. So.
Okay, so is there a motion to have a resolution of reimbursement drafted by bond counsel? Is that the action that the court wishes to take? Because we don't have one at this point. By reaching out to Mr. Mendez, if this is legal, he can draft a resolution.
Yeah.
If it is not a legal action, then he will advise us as such.
Correct. I think we'd be prudent to go ahead and get that action going. It doesn't cost us anything to, well, I'm sure he'll charge us a little bit to draw that up if it's legal.
He's going to leave another, some details based on the one he drafted previously, the total amount and the amount that we intend to reimburse ourselves. Mm-hmm. He's going to need none of those two numbers.
And are we, pretty solid on the 600,000?
I don't think so.
I had a question on that. I thought the purchase was
100,000 for the renovations.
Did we not use the money that we just sold that property across the road to Houston? It's
well, that gets in that's in the whole discussion of debt versus cash flow. How much do you?
No, I'm asking. I mean, is that not a good idea? Is it something that we need to look into, or is it? I mean,
I hope I'm gonna make this sound the right way. If the court chooses to borrow the money, we're not really gaining anything by paying down. I mean, it's an insignificant. So if we said that any land sales, property sales that we execute, just go into the general fund and it increases the amount at the end of the budget year, it would increase the amount of what our projected reserve is. The flip side of that is, you know, just in a very simple term, I mean, if you wanted to utilize that money, it doesn't negatively affect our cash flow. But then I would say that the other side is you knock off, you know, $100,000 from this, and you cut it down to a 4-year bond. So you're basically knocking off a year's worth of payment. Ish. I mean, I'm not saying that's exact, sure. But so, and then when we say, you know, that one property sale, is going to be less than, it would be just a smidgen of a percent of what it would contribute to the reserves. Now, if we have subsequent property sales, then that does, you know, help us with our reserves.
Well, there's other issues that we're dealing with too. We sell some of these properties, we're going to have a maintenance building. We've got another building that needs to be renovated now. Because somebody, you know, there's a person that is running out of office space. I mean, there's other issues as well. So I see what you're saying.
I'd make a motion to ask the bond council for a reimbursement resolution for the dollar amount of $600,000.
Motion from Commissioner Matthews for a resolution, reimbursement resolution.
I second it.
Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 17 is to consider Coryell County priorities for the state of Texas 89th legislative session. That session begins in January. Preliminary filing of bills started, I believe, November 17th as a coordinated effort. Two items that I think are very critical to the county are the addressing the disabled veterans tax exemption yep. reimbursement. I believe that is the number one priority is for me. And then the second is the impact of school vouchers. The legislative body as a whole tends to get in a battle with what I call the big five counties. And then the other 249 counties just become collateral damage. I'm concerned with the language of the bills that were considered in the last legislative session as well as what's being discussed to be presented in this legislative session could potentially have a devastating impact on small rural school districts. And there is no language in any of the bills that I've seen up to this point that would protect 1A, 2A, specifically schools. And if they were to lose 5 or 6 kids under the school voucher program, that really affects number of teachers that are employed, amount of classroom space, and then really what is that reimbursement revenue stream? Because I have not seen anywhere where it's guaranteed in any of the proposed finance bills that have been discussed up to this point. I could go on and on about protecting counties' water rights. I don't think we'll get anywhere with that whatsoever. For my list, I would propose that we address the disabled veterans tax exemption reimbursement, as well as the impact of school vouchers on 1A and 2A sized schools in Texas.
Disabled veterans was that House bill certainly on my list. And I've talked to Ms. Slauson every time I see her, say keep that alive, because I know she, I think Hugh Schein, wasn't he the, I think he was the.
He was the driving
the,
force.
The author of it, and I know she was, you know, gets the toe or support of it. So definitely going to, because that is a direct tax impact for the county. I mean, to me, that's a perfect one for us to, every one of us to lobby and push for. You know, the school voucher thing is a very polarizing subject. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are ISDs, and we all know what ISD stands for, Independent School District, and they are a taxing authority. So this really affects them and not our taxing, if you will, of the county. School vouchers doesn't. It affects the school system, you know, not our taxing. So I don't know if I would, you know, be in support of us really. If people want to do this personally, yeah, yeah, knock your socks off. But I don't know if I would want the court to, you know, get into that battle.
The school security is something that I've been dealing with a couple of legislators about. Because, you know, there's more and more schools reaching out to the county or the city asking for aid and when they're attaching it to as well. And it's crazy, you know, the dollar amount that they get, it's like $10 a student. Sorry. You can't hire anybody there. You could do that in Jonesboro or Oldsmith. School security is a huge problem.
Of course, they spend millions and millions of dollars through their lobbies every year. You know, that we don't have, and I don't want to come off. I mean, I want schools to be the very, 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 very best. Yeah, that they can. I just don't know what the counties. We're drug into it sometimes.
Yeah.
But absolutely, I mean, I'll try to pull that old bill of the House bill that was proposed, because it would have been a very, very good thing for Coryell County. If they would pass that, we would get reimbursed a tremendous amount of money.
Anything else that the county wants to prioritize? Three things I've got listed: disabled veterans tax exemption, school vouchers, and school security. And I think the role of the county with both school vouchers and school security, it's probably more direct on the county side of things. But with the school vouchers, any resolution, any document that would be drafted would be something to be entered into as a joint resolution with the school districts in Coryell County. So it would not be a standalone document from the county government, but in coordination and support. That would be my intent. Okay. But he would be willing to come out of retirement for Coryell County. Because I believe we are his favorite county to work with.
Every time he built it,
he'd come out of retirement for a year's salary.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've got another one.
Okay. Any other items that the court wishes to address for county priorities? Going once, going twice. So, okay. I don't need to think that there needs to be a formal action, because any resolution that would be submitted would go before the court before we would move forward on that. But it does give me talking points for discussion purposes. Unless someone wants to make, I mean, I don't necessarily need an action, but unless somebody wants to, is there any action any of you want to formally take? Mm-hmm. All right. Ms. Newton, if you would note under item number 17, no action, and for posterity, if you would also place disabled veterans tax exemptions or tax veteran disabled veterans tax reimbursement, school vouchers, and school security as discussion items. Thank you. Brings us to item number 18, pay bills, which we've had bills presented in the amount of $2,425,818.35. Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Reports, Commissioner Matthews.
I'm sure these folks, if their little Christmas get together, but they got a bunch of thank you cards in from County Road 158. And this being one of them. Don't know why they picked a squirrel, but now everybody out there was real happy with their work. So the only other thing I'd say is congratulations to those teams that went on in the playoffs. I guess all of our locals are out now.
Yeah.
Our neighboring county to the west, Hamilton, and prayers out to one of their little star athletes. I think he plays both ways and kicks too, but he got hit
in the kidney
and lost the kidney. So, junior in high school, so it's going to be a detriment to their.
Concussion.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Weddle.
I have nothing.
Commissioner Basham.
I got a little rain Saturday. Very nice to get it. That's about all I've got.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Taylor.
I have.
Very good. Attended a swearing-in ceremony for Coppers Cove City Council last week. Very good that they still have one contested race, not contested, but one election to finalize through runoff election. So they swore in their mayor and one new council member, Fred Chavez, and Joan Cortland were coming off the court. A real nice reception for them. December 22nd is winter solstice. You get as much sleep, as much darkness as you're going to get for the entire year. So we're on the downhill side for that. Again, based off of the last commissioner's court meeting, we will have our next meeting on December 23rd, as opposed to coming in on the 24th, although Ms. Newton did say she would do that. She would come in on the 24th if we really wanted. She did not say that. I apologize. And I forgot to ask, we still, and I'll reach out to him, but I want to make the court aware of it. Don't know that we've gotten anything back from the environmental reports or whatever we needed for the Bahia pipeline. And those, you know, approving or disproving those actions, I'll follow up with you, Mr. Belt, because I believe the plan was to appoint or see if LAN would act as the county's approving engineering authority for that action And I still need to follow up with you to make sure that we can do that, appoint them for this project only type thing.
So I talked to Mr. Mannix last week before he left. He'll be back tomorrow, I believe, Thursday. Can't remember. We got a meeting Thursday, but when he left, he had not received anything back from him.
Okay.
Whatever day that was, last right. Thursday, I guess I talked to him. Maybe it may have been Friday. I can't remember that for sure.
Yeah, I just, I mean, we're kind of pushing the holiday season, you know, and so if we don't get something actioned pretty quick, it's going to bleed over into the January months. So anyway, just want to keep that on everybody's radar. And that is all I have.
I did give Ms. Newton the closing packet from the closing yesterday, put in the minutes for the Payline and South Main Street purchase, so that those would be in the commission court records. For,
okay, I was going to put that as a consent agenda item for our next meeting, so there's a record of it. Do you think just with the where we took original actions for the sale or for the purchase of that property.
Yes, I mean, there, if somebody comes in a search for, they don't have South Main or yeah. Purchase, you know, building code, a lot of, that will pop up.
Okay.
The documents will be there with the action for the purchase. So, you know, I think that's fine.
All right. There's nothing you're comfortable with that? Okay. All right. Thank you for closing that out with us as well. All right. Any alibis? All right, hearing none, that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you. Jennifer, do you have a good copy of minutes for everybody to sign? Okay. If you will please see Mrs. Newton to sign minutes.
We're going to get people to take off.